Welcome to Infinite Returns, Commercial Real Estate Investing, brought to you by Infinity Commercial Capital. We help people find money. We are investors, lenders, and financing advisors. And this podcast is about real estate investing and helping you. Whether it's investing in residential rental properties or commercial properties, we talk about lending and all things real estate. From newbie to experienced, from funding to the strategy it takes to find success. Welcome your host, Carl Baker.
Well, welcome to our show, Infinite Returns, a show about commercial real estate investing. Happy to be here. I'm your host, Carl Baker, a real estate investor, a licensed CPA for over 30 years, and the CEO of Infinity Commercial Capital, the show's sponsor. At Infinity Commercial Capital, we help people find money, very simply. We are lenders and financing advisors. More about us later in the show. Many of our audience will be experienced YouTube watchers, etc., but I still have to say it before we get started. If you like our show, like or subscribe to the show. If watching on video, like on YouTube, etc., or follow the show on any of the audio streaming platforms we're distributing the show on. Very excited today. Today is my guest, John Starks from Knightley. We're going to talk about entrepreneurialism, investing, et cetera. Before we get started, I'll tell you what I know about John professionally and maybe a little bit personally. John Starks, a serial entrepreneur, embarked on his journey at 40, transitioning from a successful 20-year career to pursue his life goals. At 49, he now owns multiple businesses. John ventured into the real estate investment space in the year 2000, amassing a diverse portfolio. I'll be interested to hear more about that. His corporate background spans customer service, operations, sales, and leadership roles in prominent supply chain and logistics organizations. This depth of business experience has contributed greatly to his entrepreneurship success over the past decade, and his genuine passion is helping people and fostering enduring relationships. I can attest to many of that. John, welcome to the show. Anything else you'd like to add to there and maybe give a little tidbit about yourself that many of us don't know about?
Well, first of all, Carl, I just want to say thank you. I'm so humbled that you would consider me for the inaugural show for your podcast. So thank you so much for that. But one thing that's not in my bio is I'm actually the father of six daughters. I have four biological daughters and two stepdaughters. So I have a house of six women. And then I also have a four-year-old grandson. So that keeps me pretty busy as well.
Excellent. And newly married and relatively newly married and happy in that regard. So we're happy for you in that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
And you're right. I did not say this is the inaugural episode of our show. So, I wanted to start the show off with some people that I know, people that I trust, some people that have helped me. And I want to do my part to give back and to help them. And so I asked John to be on the show. He and I know each other. I'll briefly just say, do you remember where we met, what we were doing?
I think it was at a networking event. I think the Greater Springfield Chamber of Commerce had a networking event, and that's the first time we actually met.
Yeah, we were standing in line to get a beverage before the event, and next thing I know, we're talking about real estate, and I think your daughter was there and working with you, and we were talking about those things. So, yeah, it started there. Around that time, I was looking at investing in my next round of some real estate. Had some comments, questions. I was relatively new to our community in Southwest Missouri, and you had just started a management company, and so you helped me in that regard, navigating through that exercise, introduced me to a realtor. So really helped me a lot in that regard. And our friendship has grown from there. So just happy to know you and been looking forward to the conversation today.
I feel the same way. Thank you so much, Carl.
Well, we're going to talk, John and I talked in advance, and we're going to talk about Obviously, this is going to be a show about commercial real estate investing, all things. I'm a real estate investor. I'm a CPA. I'm a lender by trade now. But we're going to talk about all things real estate investing. And one of the things has to do with just understanding that real estate investing is a business. First and foremost, it's a business. I talk to a lot of people in various places in their journey regarding investing. Some early, some haven't really jumped off yet. Some have been in it for a while. And we wanted to spend this episode talking about entrepreneurialism, getting started with investing, how to do that, just the breaking away from a full-time job and those sort of things. John, any other feedback or things to add to that, to that brief introduction?
No, I think that's a great list, pretty comprehensive. I'll be surprised if we get through all that in the amount of time that we have. So I think we've got a great agenda today. Excited to share.
No kidding. Well, so why don't you give me your definition of entrepreneurialism and then segue that into how you spent 20 years in corporate America and started to think about the concept of leaving and why, and let's talk about that.
Sure. So, when I first started in corporate America, my goal was to just keep moving up the ladder, keep getting promoted. So I just came to work every day, just tried to outwork everybody, wore that I'm the first one here, last one to leave, kind of as a badge of honor, you know, and just really tried to move up the chain. And because of that, eventually I was very fortunate to become work in leadership roles at a young age. And it was very different than what I expected when I got there. I thought, you know, when you first start, you see those executives and you're like, man, it'd be great to be one of those someday. And what I found was it was very, very demanding, working 90, 100 hours a week. And really just, you didn't control your own time. Somebody else controlled your own time. And the day that you stopped working there was the day that you stopped getting paid. So there was no passive residual, unless you're investing in your 401k and things like that. There wasn't any type of ownership or long-term benefit from my view. So that's really when I shifted gears and started focusing on becoming an entrepreneur with the goal of developing streams of income that I would get paid in perpetuity and have more control of my time.
So as you were navigating through that, there had to have been a moment when you said, because you and I actually have a very similar journey in that regard, mindset, grew up in the same path, different industry, but same path, live in this corporate world, doing good work for the career, but at some point wanted to do something on my own. So how did you start to think about what is it that I'm going to do? How do I get out on my own? What are the ideas? How did you think about that?
So really, I just kind of used some things that I found successful when I was in my corporate career. So number one, you always want to look for a job when you have a job. You don't want to look for a job when you don't have one. So you have that steady stream of income. And that's probably the best time to find a job that really fits what you're looking for. Same thing in moving from corporate America to becoming an entrepreneur. I started with a side hustle, started investing in some long-term real estate, long-term rentals. I was living in an apartment with my family. Basically, my first real estate purchase was back in 2000 and bought a threeplex. Lived in one of the units, rented the other two units out. It was enough to make my mortgage payment. And then whatever I was paying in rent previously, I just started saving that to do my next acquisition. So went from a threeplex, then bought a duplex, then bought another single family, then bought another single family, moved out of my threeplex into that single family, was able to generate enough positive cash flow that I was living essentially mortgage free. And so I used that as kind of a, as a foundation to get me going in real estate. So having that was kind of a big first step for me.
So in the real estate space, I know this, but for listeners, that's called house hacking. Living in the space and renting out some portion of the space, whether it's a duplex or even a bedroom or another unit, and then using that to have other people pay the mortgage using other people's money, and then growing from there. When I first got out of college many years ago now, over 30 years, I had a roommate who did the same thing, bought a duplex and rented out the other half. I lived as just a roommate in one half with him. So he was using other people's money to pay the mortgage. I think he still owns that unit now, 30 plus years later. So, I frankly wish that I had the maturity back then to take that on, but I was engrossed in the concept of building your wealth through corporate America. But it's a legit, valuable way that a lot of people, you said you did that in 2000. Is that when you first started doing that? So that was well before you left corporate America.
It was. So that's when I first got my taste of entrepreneurship, was back then. And then about 2005, I kept getting promoted in corporate America. I managed my properties myself, and there was a lot of travel and other things that were involved. I was going to night school to try to finish my degree. And I decided in 2005 that I was going to sell all my long-term rentals. Thankfully, because everybody knows what happens in 2007, 2008. So we were very, very fortunate to be able to get out from underneath those properties during the peak of the market. But it was my first taste, and the seed had been planted for sure.
Okay. So that was I was actually going to ask about your first round in real estate, but now moving forward, at some point 9 or 10 years ago, you really decided to jump out of your corporate job. May I ask what you were doing for a living, and maybe that will help us relate to what you did next, and what did you do next?
Sure. So I actually was working for a $2 billion corporation in St. Louis, Missouri, and was an executive leading a division of a $300 million division of the company for the business development effort there. The highest paying job I've ever had in corporate America. And I was working, like I said, 90, 100 hours a week. I was on a plane, 19, 20 days out of a month, just all over the place. So missing my family, missing events, but we were very fortunate that executive salary would allow us to be able to purchase things and save for our future. However, the family quality and the quality time was just not there. And so at the age of 39, I called a family meeting and I said, "Hey, this is great. You know, we can go on vacations and we can afford some nice things. However, this is not sustainable. If I continue to do this, at some point, I'll probably have a stroke or a heart attack. It's just not sustainable." The saying that I always heard from my boss was, "Where are you at what you're doing? Or where are you at and what are you doing?" Because they always wanted to give me something more, right? "Oh, I've got something I want to give you. I need you to take this on in addition to everything that you're working on. And by the way, you don't have any additional resources. It's just more responsibility."
The good ones get the extra work.
Exactly. So at the age of 39, we made a family decision. And I walked away from that job and I took an 80% pay cut and started working as a rep for another company that had similar solutions that they provided, but it was a very different arrangement. So I took an 80% pay cut and negotiated a commission that's paid in perpetuity and medical and dental benefits. So as long as I work with this company, all my benefits are paid for. I took an 80% pay cut to go work for this company, but I get paid passively for the rest of my life as long as any business that I bring to the company continues, the two companies continue to work together, I get paid passive. And after 3 years of working, I was able to replace my salary as an executive, but now all passively. And that was my next leg back into entrepreneurship.
And that was just something you, you were just enlightened into thinking I need to do something passively, because I'll be honest, a lot of people in corporate America, they don't really think that way. Their only understanding about the way to earn a living is through a salary. So, how did you think of asking for and negotiating that sort of passive income stream?
So I sat down, I did some math, and I said, if I save 10% of my paycheck and I give 10% of my paycheck for the rest of my life, at this time I had four daughters, I have four weddings to pay for, I have four colleges to pay for, all these other things, how much money am I going to have at the end of the, when I'm 59 and a half years old, 60 years old, will I have enough money that I can retire comfortably? And the math didn't really pencil out. I couldn't physically save enough, not with everything else that was going on in life, all those unexpected expenses and everything else. So I said, I've got to do something different. I've got to do something different because this does, what I'm doing now doesn't get me to where I want to go. And it was a huge leap of faith. It's very, very hard for people to let go of the security of the paycheck. And even harder to take an 80% pay cut. I don't think if you offer that up, there's going to be a whole line of people that are going to be willing to do that. It's a difficult thing, but it's really a bet on yourself, right?
Yeah.
So, right. So that's the step that I took. And looking back, I am so glad I did it. I wish I would have done it at a younger age, but you know, it just didn't work out that way. But it's worked out so far.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's great. So I remember when I left my corporate job now going on 7 years ago, I jokingly said, at that time I had been in my career for 25 years. And I jokingly said, my mission statement is don't go bankrupt. And that was my primary mission, just not go bankrupt. Not really. Obviously, I wanted to do good work and I was making a change. But yeah, it's hard to jump off into that space if you've never done it before. You don't really know if you can replace your income, if you can earn a living on your own. And so getting past, and that's why I wanted to have this subject and why have this topic as a first conversation, because it's a part of my background, it's a part of your background, and it's out there. So many people are just trying to figure out, you know, we're talking about real estate investing, and I'll probably ask you some other questions about other things, but it doesn't have to be real estate investing. It can be starting their own business. It can be starting a coffee shop. It can be starting something. And it's that first step of kicking off and getting past that fear is the hardest part. And you've got to get past that in order to do anything else. So I just think it's very important.
I agree. Yeah. Starting with the end in mind and having a plan of or visual or something written down of what do you want your life to look like? And as detailed as possible. And then if you know where you are and you know where you're going, you can map out that plan to get to that eventual goal. But if you continue to do what you're currently doing and it doesn't pencil out to get to that end goal, then you have to do something different. So that's the realization that I came to about 9-10 years ago.
One of the things that you are alluding to, and we're not saying it specifically, but you have to have some sort, you have to have the right passion, because even if you are leaving a corporate job, it doesn't necessarily mean your hours are going to go down or that your workload is going to go down. I have had people say to me, well, now that you don't work in my case, I was in public accounting. I was a corporate auditor, and people were asking me if I worked less now that I'm on my own. No, I work more. That's I work right. all the time, but I like it. I love it. I'm more aligned with my interests, and that is helps you continue doing what you're doing, because you're doing things that you like and are passionate about, and that without that it will fail as well.
I totally agree. Find those things that give you energy. How many people do you talk to that are doing something, their occupation, and they feel like, I don't even go to work every day. This is fun. I enjoy this so much. It doesn't feel like work. It just gives me energy. If you can find those kinds of things and then find a way to monetize those, then that's a real sweet spot for sure.
Right. Well, very good. So now let's talk. You at some point left your job and you started some other businesses. May I ask, let's talk about the last 10 years and leaving what's happened in the last two or three years for you. But talk about your process to start some business. You started that second job. I think you segued into some other jobs. Talk about that, and also encompassing how you surrounded yourself with other people, because I think that helped as well.
Sure.
I'm assuming.
So yeah, I really spent some time and just kind of think about what are the lanes that I want to stay in? What are the things that make sense for me? One of the things that I think is really important, and COVID really solidified for me, is things that people need no matter what. No matter what happens, people will need a place to live. No matter what happens, there's going to be trucking, there's going to be warehousing, there's going to be supply chain needs, things like that. So I really tried to focus on things that are very resilient, regardless of what's going on in the economy and the political cycles and all that kind of stuff. So the two lanes I really focus on are real estate and supply chain and logistics. And thankfully, I had, you know, a 20 plus year career in supply chain logistics. So I really try to channel that and look for opportunities for entrepreneurship. And then, as I talked about earlier, starting in 2000, investing in real estate and looking for some revenue streams in real estate. Because of that, I partnered with some folks and bought a couple franchises with the largest property management franchise in North America called Real Property Management. I think they may have 200 or 300 real estate offices across the country, managing north of 50,000 single family homes. And Carl, that's how you and I met. Basically launched Real Property Management here in Springfield, moved to town, didn't know a single soul, and was very blessed to be able to start that company from scratch. And then about a year or two ago, I sold my half of that and the other franchise to my business partner.
That's probably an interesting topic at some point down the road, the concept of franchising. I mean, that's a subject all in itself, and how to use the franchise model to launch a business and the resources you get with it. There are pros and cons to that. So that's interesting. I'll add that to my list, and maybe we can talk about that another time, John.
Oh yeah. That's a whole show in itself.
It is. You have live experience regarding franchising, but from some background I have, I'm familiar with the concept and the model. So I know that a lot of people use it to really launch their business. So again, there are pros and cons to that. Well, so very good. You You're right. I am still a client now of Real Property Management with some properties that we have here in Southwest Missouri and Springfield, Missouri, and happy with that. But you made a change. So let's talk about what you have going on now. You've started a business called Knightley, but also to what extent, I'll just leave it up to you. You also gave me your other consulting firm, Stark Business Services. So to whatever extent, talk about that one as well.
Sure. So kind of the transition from Real Property Management to Knightley, when I was in the long-term space, it's a great arena, but really you have to scale that business pretty significantly before it makes sense and before you get into the black. There need to be managing north of 100 properties. If you're doing it very efficiently with technology and trying to drive efficiency and putting the foundation in place to scale your business, there's a lot of overhead costs with that. And so once you get to about 100 properties or just south of that, depending on what your payroll is going to be, that's kind of the business model from my experience, at least. But I did purchase a property down on Table Rock Lake, and I wanted to have a lake house and rent it out so that the house kind of paid for itself. But it also provided a place for me and my family to be able to go and go have fun down on Table Rock. And that introduced me to the short-term rental space. And to me, that was much more exciting, a lot more fun than the long-term rental space. I felt like in the long-term space, sometimes the owners weren't happy, or they're looking for high cash on cash returns, so they didn't want to invest in the property, or the vendors weren't, nobody wants to work and you can't find anybody to fix stuff, or the tenants weren't happy. Seems like everybody wasn't happy at some point within that business model. But in the short-term space, people are on vacation, they're having fun, they're out to let their hair down. It's a much more active business because things need to happen real time. Yeah, right. For sure. Versus the long-term space, but there's significantly more fees and margin in the short-term space. So that's why I wanted to transition over to that. And that's when I started the company Knightley back in early 2022. It sat dormant for a while, and then we actually went public with it in January of 2023. And starting managing our own properties within the first year, we've onboarded already 30 properties in 2023, and we're working on a pretty sizable deal right now. So in 2024, we'll be north of 100 properties in Branson and Springfield and four other markets as well.
Okay.
I also have, you mentioned Stark's Business Solutions. That's another company I own. It's a consulting company. One of my passions is helping people. I just love helping people. That's gives me a lot of energy. And so I channel all of that through Stark's Business Solutions. So if I come across opportunities where I can help somebody tap into my own business experience and help support them in whatever their entrepreneurial plans are, then I funnel all that through Stark's Business Solutions. So you could check out the website there. It's sbs.llc. And you can see some of our service offerings and some of the different solutions we provide and some of the clients we engage with.
Yeah, well, excellent. I did look at that website, and you've told me about it before. I just forgot, and I actually know some of your colleagues in that business, and that reminded me. Oh yeah, we've talked about that a little bit, but I wanted to understand that better. All right, so we've talked about the short-term rental. It is interesting in the concept of talking about real estate investing. I think there's a lesson there that you mentioned, and that is understanding how you want to be involved within the world of real estate, because some people want a passive real estate exercise. I would be honest and say that's more my speed. I'm wanting it to be as passive in terms of my own sideline investing. I need that to be as passive as it can be, because I'm spending my time contributing to the real estate market through lending. But a person needs to understand how they want to do that. Short-term rental space is not a passive exercise. It is a business in itself that has true operations. You have to have systems, more so, I would say, than in other real estate ventures, because of the active nature of hosting and et cetera. So spend a minute talking about that and elaborate on that.
Oh, it's significant. You think about the short-term rental space is all about reviews. You have to have 5-star reviews. The whole business is driven by that. So at least from the guest experience perspective. So when a guest reaches out to you, you have to be extremely responsive and you have to be proactive in creating a great guest experience. And then you also have to be reactive as things are coming up. You have to have a plan of action and be able to execute quickly so that you show your responsiveness so the guest would leave you a very positive review. So because of that, you're right. There's a lot more technology. There's a lot more resources that you have to marshal to help execute on that business model. Mm-hmm. Dynamic pricing, for example, that's just one thing. So you think about long-term rental space, you set what your monthly rate is going to be and you sign a lease agreement and that's it. You're just collecting rent and you're just making sure that you maintain the property. Not in that very, very different business model in the short-term space where pricing could be changing every second. You're monitoring properties that are comparable in your marketplace to see if they're booked. So you're actively monitoring supply. You also have tools that are tracking using a concept called pacing, tracking demand for the last 3 years and trying to project that. And where you're tracking the demand and you're tracking the supply, your pricing is changing every minute, every day, across for future dates, existing dates. It's a much, much more complex business, but it's a lot of fun if you enjoy things like that.
Well, and some of that software and the dynamic pricing, I think that's a fascinating piece, and it's really the key to success in short-term rental business operations to grab the dollars where they are, because you're matching matching your pricing with demand. And the software is interesting because there's all sorts of different softwares and ways that can be done. It can be more manual. You can set up algorithms. You can manage that even depending on how dynamic you want that exercise to be, as I understand it.
Oh, you're exactly right, Carl. So what a lot of do-it-yourselfers might do is they might use the tools that are provided by the OTAs. OTAs are online travel agencies like Airbnb, VRBO. But you have to keep in mind that those OTAs have a vested interest in driving your price down as low as possible so that they can keep that revenue on their OTA and somebody doesn't book on bookings.com or VRBO or a different OTA. So their goal is not necessarily aligned with the investor. What the investor should be looking at is a different indicator like RevPAR. What's my revenue per available reservation, which means what's my occupancy and how can I drive my highest average daily rate so I can maximize my return on the property? It's a very different goal than what an OTA might have. At Nightly, we have dedicated revenue management specialists. That's all they do. Every day, they're driving the price as high as they possibly can, watching all the webinars, anticipating what's going to happen next. The Garth Brooks concert gets announced down in Branson. Our pricing goes 3x. A do-it-yourselfer can't physically go change the price on every single property in real time to be able to keep up with that mm-hmm. big change. Or that big change in demand. Mm.
Well, and like I said, that's the key to success in short-term rental and You also mentioned the five stars and just making sure it's a good overall experience, because you're grabbing top dollar for those services based on demand. And so they deserve a good experience. And so there's that piece of it as well. Well, it is a fascinating business, and that also could be a subject in and of itself. There are lots of pros and cons and risks, and lenders have different views on short-term rentals as well. And that'll be a subject we'll need to talk about someday as well.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, we didn't necessarily touch on everything, but we touched on a lot, and we probably ought to draw this to some conclusions. You may or may not have seen that as you were talking, I was taking a few notes. I wanted to end this with a few high-level lessons that I gleaned from this conversation, and John, you might have a few. The talking points that I came up with is the concept in under the umbrella of entrepreneurialism. Getting past the fear, putting a good plan together, but getting past the fear and finding something that you're passionate about, whatever that might be. Certainly we have a real estate investing orientation in this, but I also have an interest in just helping business owners. So whatever that might be, getting past the fear and jumping off and finding your passion is something important. I also, you touched on something in starting a business. I talked to a lot of people that the concept of starting a business as a side hustle, that is in my opinion, an underappreciated value, or method to getting a business started. So I picked up on that. I think that's important. Then the last two things is understanding how to pick your business exercise. You found a business that is resilient in the economy, where the needs are that are sort of economics proof, so to speak. And then we wrapped up. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about short-term rentals. And those are the five things that I picked up on. Anything you wanted to add, John?
No, Carl, that's a great list. One thing you did mention early on in the call, we didn't get to spend much time on it, is the people that you surround yourself with. Having people like Carl and going to networking events and meeting folks that are on the out in the community, you can get so much experience. People are willing to share how they did it, what made them successful, the do's and don'ts. There's so much information out there on the internet today. I would encourage you to do all your diligence and talk to folks. And if I ever see you at a networking event, I'd be more than happy to share a little bit more of my story. If you need something to fall asleep to, I can certainly do that or buy you a drink or whatever. So please stop by and say hello.
No, that's great. Any other, I was going to ask you just gave some great advice in terms of the networking and being out there. Any other last pieces of advice that you would give to an audience?
No, that's all I have, Carl. Thank you so much for having me today. This has been great.
Well, I have mutually enjoyed it as always. Wrapping this up, where can you find more information out about John? Nightly.cc. Do you want to give those websites again?
Yeah, nightly.cc for the short-term rental management company, full service management. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for consulting services for your business, it's sbs.llc. But probably the best place to reach me would be on LinkedIn. Just look for my profile for real estate investor or entrepreneur. I'd be happy to link up with you there and we can communicate that way.
I have the link. We'll put it in the show notes or the comments to make sure that we get that link for John's LinkedIn profile in available to our audience. Well, thanks very much. I'm going to talk now as we segue into conclusion. I can't help but talk a little bit about our show sponsor, Infinity Commercial Capital. As you heard in the introduction, we help people find money. We're lenders and financing advisors providing permanent bridge and construction capital solutions for commercial enterprises, everything from 1 to 4 unit rental properties to multifamily properties to all manners of commercial real estate. Our main value proposition includes the 30-year fixed rate commercial loan. The longer amortization means a lower debt service payment. That's important. Bridge loans for commercial and commercial property, for residential and commercial properties for rehab or other reasons. And then simplified underwriting. We're asset-based lenders. So many times that means no tax returns, no personal debt to income ratio requirements, no global debt cash flow analysis, just simplified underwriting. We're looking at whether the deal makes sense or not and then providing competitive terms in that regard. You can find more about us at InfinityComCapital.com. Phone number is 314-403-7745. You can email us at info@InfinityComCapital.com. We'll have that in the notes. You can also find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, X, formerly Twitter, Instagram, etc. We're usually posting articles, current rates, other educational content. We do that pretty frequently. As we wrap up, if you do like our show, please like or subscribe to the show. If watching on video like YouTube, follow the show on, or if you follow the show on this audio streaming, do so by following the show so that you're current on the episodes. If you have questions or feedback, give it to us in the comments, especially if you have questions for John or me. We'll make sure we monitor that and answer those questions. If you have ideas about future shows, or if you want to be on the show, reach out. Thanks for watching or listening to our show, however you are enjoying the show. We look forward to bringing you a new show in the future. We have some pretty interesting subjects coming up soon. We're actually going to be talking about tax planning and how that impacts your real estate portfolio, some fundraising ideas, a show about that, and then some more discussions on real estate, talking with a realtor soon. So thanks very much, all, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Questions, comments, want to be a guest? You can reach Carl at kbaker@infinitycomcapital.com. You can find all episodes of Infinite Returns Commercial Real Estate Investing on all major podcast platforms and YouTube. Thank you for tuning in. And until next time, happy investing.